Now, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, as you've heard in the news, has, with his wife Jenny, been hosted at a state dinner in Washington by the US President Donald Trump. The Prime Minister has also been part of an extraordinary impromptu news conference in the Oval Office, where President Trump ran through a range of subjects, from his ambitions for space travel to Mars, to his view that, in a sense, China poses a threat to the world. ABC Washington correspondent James Glenday is there for us. James, you've just been talking to Scott Morrison.
We have, Hugh, and good morning, and thanks for having me. We're outside the Blair House, which is the President's official guest house. It's a pretty grand affair, and Scott Morrison has been chatting to reporters, and I have to say, after the past couple of days, he looks pretty tired, and indeed he said he was feeling the effects of not just the jet lag, but what has been a frenetic couple of days.
Well, it must be, in a sense, quite exhausting to go to a party. There is no party on earth, really, like one that can be laid on with a White House state dinner. What caught your eye most of all in all that White House pomp?
I think it's interesting because I don't think that you could hope, if you're an Australian Prime Minister, to be treated in a better fashion, if you like, by an American president. The Americans are very good at the pomp and ceremony. They really did lay it on from the moment he arrived and got off the plane at Joint Base Andrews. He's received the red carpet treatment with military bands and salutes and walkthroughs and all sorts of picture opportunities. But, of course, he's dealing with Donald Trump. And although a lot's been made about the bromance between them potentially and the fact that they seem to be getting on relatively well, both sides behind the scenes have tried to emphasise that, it's still Donald Trump.
It's interesting because Malcolm Turnbull was credited with playing Donald Trump quite well, understanding the peculiarities of the Trump personality, and particularly his sensitivity to anything that might be anything other than praise. And we saw in their body language, the two of them, it's an unusual circumstance because they don't know each other intimately, and yet there is almost a requirement from them to carry on as if they are the oldest and best of friends.
Yeah, I think you've summed it up pretty well. I think what was interesting for as someone who lives here and watches a lot of these leaders come through and cycle through the White House is how Scott Morrison was very careful to appeal to the sensibilities of Donald Trump. For example, on China, he spoke a lot about how trade had to be fair, and he spoke about the fact that, you know, he understood that Donald Trump was why he was doing what he was doing. But then at the same time, he also, just a bit later, stressed that free and open markets and effectively not a tit-for-tat tariff trade war, which is what Donald Trump's doing with China, was essential for prosperity. And he referenced the cloud over the global economy. And that's pretty clearly coded language for the fact that Australia could be caught up in this trade war at some point if it continues for a long time. So I think that's just sort of one example of where Scott Morrison was fairly cautious. On Iran too, there's reports here in Washington today that the United States is looking at potentially building some sort of military coalition over the next week or so. And Mr. Morrison latched onto the word restraint when Donald Trump sort of said, oh, I could bomb anyone. I could knock that country out now while we're chatting, but I'm not going to. I don't want to do that. If I don't have to, I'm going to show restraint. And then immediately Mr. Morrison lauded Mr. Trump's restraint. So he has been quite careful and kind of tried to play it both ways.
Indeed, there's a definite skill there to looking sticky and close, in a sense, in a proper sense, to our major strategic ally, while also trying not to get ourselves too involved in the next thing. It was interesting that a question was put to Donald Trump as to whether he perceived China as a strategic threat. And he went further than that in the answer, saying, in a sense, China is a threat to the world, referencing China's military spending and the pace of its increase. Did that take people by surprise, the degree to which Donald Trump really had the gloves off rhetorically in that answer?
Yeah, I think that was interesting because the Australian press in particular were a bit surprised, a bit taken back by that. We're used to our leaders not speaking in that fashion. And indeed, Donald Trump doesn't often talk about China as a threat. He usually says, oh, I'm such good friends with Xi Jinping. We've got the best relationship. We get along. I like the guy. He wants to do a deal. We're going to do a deal. We're going to get a deal done. But he does sometimes go a bit harder and say that China needs to be tackled, and says they've been robbing and ripping off the United States for years. The one thing about China from an American perspective is it can be tempting to look at some of the things Donald Trump says and just think, oh, that's Donald Trump's bluff and bluster. But the great ship of American statecraft and diplomacy has turned against Beijing pretty uniformly. The view that China is a rising threat, not just economically and as an economic competitor, but as a serious strategic threat, has really taken hold here in Washington over the past couple of years. And it is a real bipartisan approach. There was a hearing up on Capitol Hill just the other day that I listened into on Huawei. And usually those things descend into sort of petty partisan affairs, but it didn't at all. They were actually listening and pretty much speaking as one, Democrats and Republicans, about how they thought China was a serious threat.
It is indeed interesting, that shift. The other thing which Scott Morrison has enthusiastically embraced is Donald Trump's ambitions in space, particularly heading on from the moons, from the moon, first of all, and then on to Mars. And we're going to be part of it.
Yeah, we're going to be part of it to a very small extent. $150 million is nothing to be sneezed at. Over the next 5 years, the Australian government is going to put that towards helping Australian businesses take advantage of the Moon to Mars mission, which is actually not one mission, it's many, many missions over probably about 12 years, that is going to, first of all, send people to the moon. Donald Trump wants that done by 2024, and then set up effectively a staging post, a gateway, that will be then used for further deep space missions, and eventually Mars, maybe the timeline suggests, in the 2030s. But I mean, that's optimistic to say the least. I think it's interesting that Mr. Morrison went down this path, and he said that he wanted Australia to be part of it. He said he wants to grow the space economy, but also this is a real pet project of Donald Trump. It's not a bad one to be talking about, because you probably will have seen a couple of times, Hugh, when Mr. Trump is asked why he's sending people to the moon again, he sometimes gets quite cross, because he wants the focus to be on the fact that eventually the point of it all is that they're going to get to Mars. So it's a good, not a bad one for an Australian Prime Minister to be talking about.
Absolutely, and it's not over yet for Scott Morrison in the United States. Just briefly, what else can we expect of his trip?
Well, he's going to the UN. He's going to be meeting other foreign leaders. He's also going to be heading to Chicago too. But I think the other real highlight of this trip is going to be Sunday local time, where he'll appear with Donald Trump again in the Midwest. He's going to a factory in Ohio that's owned by an Australian billionaire, and they're going to be talking about jobs. And I think that's significant, because this is really sort of a campaigning event in a way for Donald Trump, because he has to campaign on how he has turned the economy around and how he has created more jobs in the Midwest. That's what he largely won people over on last time in those regions. And so it is quite important to him. And I think that in the dynamics and the pictures of that are going to be really interesting to see, because it's not normal that an Australian Prime Minister would be joined by a US President in a place as remote as the outskirts of Dayton, Ohio.
Indeed. Certainly a big trip for Scott Morrison, and so far so good. James Glenday, our ABC Washington correspondent. Thank you.
Thanks, Hugh.